tonal music, but it's also not atonal music. It's playful, it's expressive, and it's got that sort of, again, in sort of in the context of what we just spoke about, and maybe this has to do with my heritage as well. It has that kind of Eastern European nostalgia.
It does.
And kind of longing to it. And that really speaks to me. And I should say, so in addition to my parents are Israeli, but my father is Israeli. My mother is Romanian born. And my grandparents are from, my mother's parents from Romania. My dad's parents from Czechoslovakia and Austria. So that, there's something about that kind of sound, that Eastern European sound, which it goes hand in hand with, you know, Jewish or Israeli music.
Yeah, it does.
That speaks to me as well. So I would mention Ligeti as a strong influence, and certainly a number of people who have been influenced by him, American composers that have, you know, worked with him and since then.
Yeah, and imagine would his name be as known if it wasn't for 2001: A Space Odyssey.
It wouldn't be, and of course, as you know, the irony of that is that was used illegally by Stanley Kubrick. But
I've heard the story,
and I remember when Ligeti passed away in 2006. That was his obituary, was, you know, Yorgi Ligeti, composer of music for 2001: Space Odyssey, which is, you know, in for a lot of composers, I think you think, well, that's not. You know, he should be known for so much more than that, but it really woke the West up, and especially the States, up to his work.
And if it does, why not?
All to the good. And Kubrick used his music again legally in Eyes Wide Shut and in other movies, so it all worked out for everyone, I would say.
Yeah, that's great. Well, let's go now to a selection of yours. This is for solo marimba, entitled Art and the Rain. This composition dates from 2008, and has a Bach connection, if I'm not mistaken. Why don't you take over and tell us about the work and our performer?
Sure. Well, the performer is Gwendolyn Burgett Thrasher, and she's on the faculty at Michigan State University, which is the school, the institution that commissioned the piece for Gwen. Gwen is actually putting out a new CD of all new commissioned works for mostly solo marimba, but also some other percussion, I think. Should be coming out not too long from now. In fact, what you're going to hear is basically the rough edit for that recording. So you're getting a nice preview of that with the artist's permission. The Bach connection, pretty much everyone plays Bach on their instruments. I mean, I think Bach would approve of that. I don't know that he would have expected to hear his cello suites played on the marimba, but they are. I mean, that prelude to the first cello suite, you hear marimbists practicing that all the time. And Gwen actually has a disc of all the Bach cello suites and her marimba transcriptions. I'm not even sure I knew that at the time that I wrote this piece. But I did know that a lot of marimbists played this Bach, the first cello suite, especially the prelude to it. And I had this memory that was very strong for me of, I worked at Tanglewood, as an RA, a resident assistant, for their high school, music program in 1997. And I got to see Yo-Yo Ma perform. It was the first time I saw him perform, maybe the only time I saw him perform. And he played the first three Bach cello suites outside in the shed at Tanglewood. This really intimate music in this really vast outdoor space. And at one point, during really early on in the performance and all the way through, this torrential downpour began. And I was so struck by his focus and his concentration. Of course, he was playing from memory, and he just, you know, he owns those pieces, and he owned the world here. He owned, the audience was rapt, even though they were being drenched, and I was sitting out on the lawn kind of far away. And so what you'll hear here is quotations from the, you know, intermittently you'll hear quotations from Bach's prelude to to Bach's first cello suite, kind of woven into the fabric of this piece.
That's, and then it kind of, so great about it. You hear it and it's going, it's original, and then you hear a little couple notes here, you know.
Yeah, and exactly. And so there's a familiarity, but it's almost like you're hearing it from a distance. And the way I think of that is that, first of all, there's the distance from me in time, you know, Bach being a long time ago. There's the distance of my memory of this experience, which, you know, I wrote it 10 years after the fact, but I just had this image of Yo-Yo Ma playing this piece, and also, the marimba for me, because of the repertoire that's been written for it, some of the great pieces for marimba, it's associated to me very much with the sound of water and rain. And so it kind of, it seemed like the right instrument to kind of evoke this particular memory and this particular music.
Yeah. Well, we're going to hear it now. This is music by my guest, Judah E. Adachi, and we listen to Art and the Rain. Thank you. Music for Solo Marimba by my guest Judah E. Adachi. The piece was titled Art and the Rain. It was written in 2008 and performed, Judah, by marimbist?
Gwendolyn Burgett Thrasher.
Very good. Thanks so much. Up until 10 o'clock, I am being joined by American composer Judah E. Adachi. Judah, thanks again so much for coming. It's great to have you here.
Thanks for having me, Marvin.
If listeners are interested in learning more about you and your music, they can go to your website. What is the address?
That's right. So it's just my name, which is either easy to remember or difficult, depending on how you look at it. But it's www.judahadachi.com. And my name is spelled J-U-D-A-H-A-D-A-S-H-I, Judah Adachi.
And for people who are interested, if they want to make it easier, I guess, there will be a link to your site, Judah, from the playlist for today's program.
Terrific.
On my website.
Terrific.
So that'll make things a little bit easier, hopefully. Well, let's now change the subject a little bit and go to the Evolution Contemporary Music Series,
yes,
which you are founder and director of. How and why did this begin, and what is its purpose?
It started in 2005. I started it in 2005, really because Baltimore is a great town for music. We have the Baltimore Symphony Orchestra. We have some wonderful chamber series, the Shriver Hall Concert Series, all kinds of things. And, of course, the Peabody Institute, where I teach, is a very vibrant place. We have a vibrant experimental music scene in Baltimore. And I thought what we really needed, if there was anything that we were missing, it was a series devoted to the music of living composers.
Sounds good to me.
Yeah, I mean, if you're in New York, that's something that's not hard to find. You have, you know, several prominent series. Certainly, you know, what they do at Miller Theater, and just, you know, every couple of blocks you have an ensemble or a series devoted
something,
to that.
Yeah.
But I felt like at Peabody we had a lot of good stuff starting to happen from, you know, sort of mid to late 20th century music, sort of the music of Berio, Cage, Davidovsky. That music was starting to take root. But I wanted a venue to program music that was, you know, written in the last 20 or 30 years, preferably the last, you know, 10 years or so. Composers that people don't know about, that they should know about, and that I think they would really like. You know, contemporary music that might open the door to a lot of people who might otherwise find it intimidating in one way or another, which is not to say that we don't program a huge range of styles, but I think that's the point. It's really to kind of, you know, you can find your niche and what you like.
Yeah, which we were discussing earlier, and I'm going to go, you know, like going in what you're doing. I think right now, because of all the styles and all the countries that are coming out with new stuff, I think right now we're in musically one of the most exciting periods.
It's an extraordinary time. I mean, I think for some people it might be, I have to imagine, and I go back to when I started studying, not classical music, but when I became a composer, it's intimidating. There's a lot to take in. So part of what the series, you know, we often have pre-concert conversations to kind of bring the audience into it, you know, with the composers, with the performers. Mm-hmm. We've had some terrific composers, who are in the area. Christopher Rouse, who's a, you know, Pulitzer Prize winning composer from Baltimore, has been on the series. We've had David Rakowski, who you and I were talking about off the air. We've had a lot of wonderful composers come and kind of speak, and we've done a number of premieres, and we have looked at music from not just American composers, but music from different countries. We've had sort of a focus concerts on Scandinavian music. Obviously, Finnish music is really in the air in the last 10, 15 years. Music from the UK, which is also really diverse and interesting.
Sure.
Music from Oliver Nussen to Thomas Ades and beyond. A young composer named Anna Klein, who's in residence right now with the Chicago Symphony. We did her music. So we really try to cover a really broad range.
Sure.
I mean, this past season, we've also had, it's not all music. We had Alex Ross, who's the great music critic for The New Yorker. You know, he's really changed. I think he's doing a lot of the kind of work that hopefully my series is doing, hopefully your radio show does, of kind of bringing classical music and contemporary classical music to a wider audience. And so we've had him down twice on the occasion of his recent book releases. Mm-hmm. First, The Rest is Noise, his book on 20th century music, and then his collection of essays and profiles recently, Listen to This. So we had him down to just talk about these things, and You know, he draws a huge crowd, actually. So it's really nice to kind of have him. We did David Lang's piece, another recent Pulitzer Prize winner, The Little Match Girl Passion, which was a huge event for us and a really special occasion. We operate out of a very small venue, about 75 seats. So it's a very intimate place for a very intimate piece for just four singers and percussion. The singers play the percussion. So we've done a whole range of things. Mm. We're entering our seventh season next year. And we've really found a nice niche, I feel, in Baltimore, where I just, I think we've had a real cultural renaissance, especially as far as contemporary art and music and theater are concerned. And we've found a nice place in it.
And I find, too, once people hear new music or let themselves be exposed a little to it, they want to hear more.
They do. As you and I were discussing off the air, I think the perception of what new music is, the sad irony is that when people hear the words new music, they think of something probably from 1930 or 1940, if that. I mean, most orchestras, happily not our home orchestra, not the Baltimore Symphony. We have a very wonderful and adventurous music director in Maren Alsop, who actually arrived right around that time. In 2005, we started the series, and then in 2006, 2007, we did a sort of Welcome to Baltimore concert for her to kind of thank her for all the contemporary music and contemporary American music that she programs.
Yeah, she does a great job.
She's a real champion of what we're talking about. But, usually when you go to an orchestra concert, The Rite of Spring, which is coming up on its 100th birthday, is kind of like the edgy contemporary piece. And so, I think, people are usually pleasantly surprised. They come to an Evolution concert, and I'm sure this happens on your show, too. People hear the show and they say, I didn't realize that's the kind of stuff people are writing today. Or I didn't realize people were writing so many different kinds of things. For me, I thought contemporary music was on this continuum of kind of dissonance to noise, which is part of it. But it's just part of it. I think if you have everything from that, from 12-tone music to musique concrète to all kinds of electronic music to pop and hip-hop influenced music to stuff that sounds, quite frankly, fairly romantic, neo-romantic music, that whole gamut is available and then some, a lot of ethnic influences. I think people need to just hear, what is it that we are writing today? What is it that living composers are writing? And it's a wonderfully diverse and engaging.
And hopefully this music that's being written today will be looked at as the great works of our time 50, 100 years ago.
One hopes so, or at the very least, what it does is it gives people the chance to decide what they like. Sure. I think at the very least, that's what people need, is that opportunity.
And like saying, something is always there now for everybody.
There is, and thanks to not only concert series, radio show, the internet has been just a huge sort of democratizing force and a means of accessibility. I mean, you now can hear almost anything you want on YouTube, and that's a gift.
That's great.
So,
how about the series for next season?
For next season, we're still finalizing the details, but I can tell you a couple of things.
Sure.
We're going to do a portrait concert of the music of Martin Bresnik, a longtime faculty member at Yale and a student of Georgi Ligeti, who I mentioned. Just a wonderful composer who, his music speaks to me a lot because it's very, not only is it beautiful music and really sort of rich music, structurally rich music, expressive music, but it has a lot of literary and extra musical connections, which
I do
as well. And, he reads a lot of Kafka, figures into several of his pieces. He's a very culturally engaged artist. And so that, when you hear his music, you're not just hearing music, you're hearing music inspired by Kafka, by Blake, by the paintings of Goya, by all kinds of things. And to me, that really makes it that much richer. And I hope we can present it in such a way as to kind of honor that multidisciplinary quality. We're also going to have a concert featuring music from that's been written inspired by The Tempest by Shakespeare. Wow. The two big pieces we're going to do, Paul Moravec has his piece The Tempest Fantasy for piano trio plus clarinet, basically for the Messian quartet for the End of Time ensemble. That's a beautiful piece. That's going to be one half of the program. The other half will be Kaija Saariaho's Tempest songs from The Tempest. I'm actually Tempest songbook. And that's a really sort of otherworldly sort of a different side of
she's
the play.
She's quite a composer.
She's extraordinary. Extraordinary music. I mean, I would say one of our best composers today, and one of, especially writing for The Voice. She really, you know, if there's anybody who I think is really successful at writing vocal music and opera today in a way that is new and different, but also, I think, accessible to people, I think she's it.
Her orchestration is so luxuriant, so incredible.
And I think that's what lets people into it. I mean, first of all, it's lyrical writing, and it's also, yeah, there's that sort of post-Debussy, Messiaen.
Absolutely.
It's not impressionistic, but, it's a mix.
It's colorful. It's got a very unique color sound to it.
That's exactly right. I think it's a mix between that sound world and, you know, she often incorporates electronics or sounds inspired by electronics. And I think it's very inviting, but I think it's also exotic. I think it's otherworldly and kind of invokes sounds that people may not know. And so her take on The Tempest is very different from Paul Moravec's. And so to me, that pairing, two extraordinary artists inspired by Shakespeare in two very different ways.
That sounds great. That's good luck with that, Jude.
Thank you very much. Thanks for asking about it.
More of your music now.
Yes.
This is a work for bassoon and piano titled The Dark Hours. It dates from 2007 and was commissioned by the Carlos Cernak Fund of the BMI Foundation. The work was inspired by an early poem of Rilke. Now, we're going to hear a very special recording of this piece.
Yeah, this is probably the first airing of this recording. Much like the marimba piece you just heard, this is slated for commercial release on a disc by the artists Peter Kolke, bassoonist, and pianist Alexandra Nguyen. This is the first time I'm hearing this recording. Yeah, right? So it's an exciting thing. Peter just sent me this rough edit, and this should be coming out.
And I'm glad you brought it.
He just sent it fortuitously. I told him I was going to be on your show, and he told me he could try to send this to me just ahead of the show. This disc of 20th and 21st century music for bassoon, kind of what we've been talking about, mostly by living composers, not all, but, a mix of music by mostly living composers for bassoon. Peter's one of the best bassoonists I know. He's with this group called Concert Artists Guild in New York, which supports young, up-and-coming artists. He's been with them for a while. He plays with CMS2, Chamber Music at Lincoln Center, their young artist roster. He's been with them for a long time, so he plays on a lot of their concerts. And he actually just played this piece at Barbès in Brooklyn on Sunday. And this CD is going to be out, hopefully, next month. All the recording is done, all the layout is done. And as I said, Peter was kind enough to send me the sort of pre-release version of it. So you're hearing it for the first time, and I'm hearing it for the first time.
So we're going to hear it now.
Yeah.
Music by my guest, Yuda E. Adachi. Thank you. Music by my guest, Judah Arashi. Judah, what did we hear?
We just heard The Dark Hours, performed by Peter Kolkay on bassoon and Alexander Nguyen on piano. And as I said in the lead up to it, this is that was my first time hearing it, and probably yours too. Definitely yours too.
I guess so.
unless you know someone leaked a copy. I know these things are really hot on the internet.
Yeah.
But it's they're terrific duo. And this is going to be out on a CD from Concert Artists Guild, hopefully in the next month or so. So hopefully you'll keep an eye out for it. I know Marvin will have some info up on his website,
and a link
to my website, so you'll be able to keep up with that.
Check it out. That sounds wonderful. Well, Judy, you're here for a masterclass.
That's right.
Why don't you tell us a little bit about that? It's going to be at the Princeton Public Library, and 30 students are going to be part of it, or?
You know, I will find out when I get there. I think it's something like that, 25 to 30. Yeah, it's always a surprise when you do a master. The whole idea of a composer doing a master class is always kind of an adventure because you never know what you're going to get. But whatever it is, we're just as we have in this interview, we'll have a good time. I'll talk a little bit about my music. I'll listen to and look at some of the music that students and others bring along. It's in the community room at the Princeton Public Library from 1 to 3 today. And
for more information, I got a phone number.
All right.
609-924-9529. The phone number, once again, is area code 609-924-9529.
Terrific.
Well, I would like you to know that you can visit my website if you want more detailed information about any of the selections played today on Classical Discoveries. The address on my site is www.classicaldiscoveries.org. The detailed playlist for today's program will be posted by this evening. Also, if you have any comments or questions or would like to just simply get in touch, I'd love to hear from you. You can email me directly at marvinrosen@classicaldiscoveries.org. Again, that's marvinrosen@classicaldiscoveries.org. And as we've mentioned, the website for Judah Arashi, there will be a link to that website on the playlist for today's program on my website. Well, Judah, what is coming up for you in the upcoming season?
Well, I mean, first of all, there's we're still kind of ending this season, so we have some. I have a couple of things associated with this trip. In fact, tonight I'm headed up to Symphony Space in New York, and a group called the Quintet of the Americas, a woodwind quintet, is playing my woodwind quintet called Songs and Dances of Macondo. The piece is inspired by some musical aspects of Gabriel Garcia Marquez's 100 Years of Solitude, and that's actually what they're doing up at Symphony Space tonight. It's a literary event celebrating that book, and the quintet's going to play my piece. Excerpts from the book will be read, so that should be a nice occasion. And they're actually playing that same piece, Songs and Dances of Macondo, from 2004. They're playing that again in Princeton at the library on Sunday, I believe at 3 p.m.
Sounds good.
Yeah.
And so we're going to hear a little bit of that now.
Yeah, we're going to listen to the sixth movement of that. It's called Sunset Hymns and Psalms. This is not actually the Quintet of the Americas performing. This is a group that performed it, a group of student fellows, really talented students at the Aspen Music Festival, which commissioned the piece. Like I said, the piece really is meant to evoke, for those of you familiar with 100 Years of Solitude by Marquez, it's this really beautiful, epic novel, magic realist novel. And my piece is not, I thought about a couple of ways to approach it. The piece makes no attempt to kind of capture this grand sweep of this big novel. Instead, I kind of focused in on certain musical elements and events in the book. They're kind of subtle, but they're there. There's a lot of music in the book, and so it's a seven-movement piece. The movement you're going to hear, Sunset Hymns and Psalms, is it's a particular scene in the book that invokes West Indian psalm singing, and by no means is my attempt to do that in any way authentic. It's just meant to evoke this very nostalgic kind of singing that goes on kind of in the background of this particular scene in the novel. And the woodwind quintet in general, for me, is this very, it's such an interesting group to write for. It's such a motley, heterogeneous group of instruments. They don't really blend with each other. And so the way I thought of them for this piece is almost like a almost like a street band. The town, the name of the piece, Songs and Dances of Macondo, comes from the fictional town, Macondo, where this whole novel is set. And so I think of the quintet as kind of providing from within the soundtrack to these sort of scenes in the novel. So this is movement 6 from Songs and Dances of Macondo.
Well, before we hear the music, yeah. Judah, thanks so much for coming.
Marvin, it's been a blast. It's been a real pleasure. Thank you so much for having me.
For the last hour and a half, I've been joined by American composer Judah E. Adachi. His music is wonderful, and I'm so happy I had the opportunity to present his works to all of you today. Judah, again, thanks so much.
Thank you so much, Marvin.
Check out www.wprb.com for special programming information, playlists, concert calendars, and much more. You can friend and follow WPRB at a variety of social networking sites, too. We're at myspace.com/WPRB, facebook.com/WPRB1033FM, and twitter.com/WPRB.
WPRB wants you to know that you can donate your old car, truck, boat, or motor home to the National Kidney Foundation. They will tow away your vehicle for free and use it to fund kidney treatment for local patients. Your donation may qualify for a tax deduction. For more information, call 1-800-488-CARS. Again, that's 1-800-488-CARS, or go to www.kidneycars.com. This has been a public service announcement from WPRB Princeton, community-supported, independent radio. Good morning. It is 10 a.m. on Wednesday, May 11th, and you are tuned to WPRB Princeton, New Jersey. Community-supported, independent radio at 103.3 FM or online around the world at www.wprb.com. Welcome to another edition of Classical Discoveries. I am your host, Marvin Rosen, and I'm with you every Wednesday between 5:30 a.m. and 1 p.m. I do switch gears at around 11 o'clock with more modern and electronic works on Classical Discoveries Goes Up.